In today's Mishnah, we'll learn the 7th and 8th Mishnah from the 10th Perek Masechta Taharot. The Mishnah begins, Hazolef HaTabor. If someone is now extracting all the grape juice, or the wine that is being collected in the bor, in the pit during pressing, and he does so by simply filling up barrels and then placing them on the side. The Mishnah says, Nimtza Sheretz Berishona. If a Sheretz, one of the teeming creatures, and it is dead, which is a source of Tumah, is found in the first barrel, then Kulam Tmeot. Then all the barrels will be Tameh. Because there's no way to rationalize that the other ones shouldn't be tameh. Either the sheretz was in the bor to start with, so therefore all the wine is tameh, or it was in the first barrel, but when he placed the barrel with the dead sheretz inside in the water, in the wine, it would have made it all tameh. If, however, it was found b'achrona in the final barrel, in the last one, then we can say he tameh. Then only the last one is tameh, only the last barrel is tameh, and the rest of them are tahor. Why? Because, as we've said previously, we say kan nimtza, kan haya. Meaning, since we see the sheretz in the final barrel, we can assume that it was there the entire time. We don't have to be concerned that maybe the sheretz was in the bor, in that pit, and was only pulled out when the final barrel was filled up. So therefore, we can say, no, we don't have to make that assumption. Kan nimtza, kan haya, and therefore only the last barrel's contents and barrel itself would be tameh. Eimatai, when's that the case? Meaning everything we've learnt thus far. That's bezan shu alef b'chol echad v'echad. That's only if we were filling up the barrels directly, meaning placing the barrels themselves in this bor. Aval imaya zolef b'machatz, if however he was extracting all the wine using this machatz, which is a large kli, so effectively he's using a separate kli to fill up the barrels, we say nimtza sheretz b'chamehen, if one of the dead teeming creatures was found in any one of the chaviyot, then hit me'a b'vav, then that one would be the only one that's t'me'a. And again, we simply say kan nimtza kan haya. We don't need to be concerned that the sheretz was pulled out of the bor, and therefore, which would mean all of the barrels would be tameh. No, we can simply assume that since the sheretz is found here, we say that's where it was the entire time. So eimatai, when do we say that? Bizman shu bodek, v'lo mechaseh, or mechaseh v'lo bodek. That's only when he inspected all the barrels before starting to make sure they were empty and clean, but did not cover them over, or he covered them over and didn't inspect them. In other words, in both those situations, it's possible that the sheretz was already in the barrel before starting. However, haya bodeko mechaseh, if however he checked all the barrels and then covered them over, so that was, in other words, there's no possible way that the dead sheretz got into it other than being poured in from the machatz, then we say v'nimtza sheretz bechavit, and then we find a sheretz after that in one of the barrels, then hakol tameh. Then all the barrels will be tameh, because the only possible way the sheretz could have got into this barrel would have been because it was in the bor, in that pit, and therefore all the wine would be tameh. The Mishnah then continues, babor, if you find the sheretz in the bor, then we say hakol tameh. Then all the barrels of wine that are filled with wine from this bor, from the pit, would be tameh. That is because we do machzik mizman lezman. In other words, we don't say that maybe the sheretz only fell in just now after the barrels were finished. No, if it's in this pit, it was there already from, we say was already there from the beginning, and therefore all the barrels that have been filled up from this bor would be tameh. But machatz, if it is found inside the machatz, this kli that was used, this special vessel used to fill up all the other barrels, then we say hakol tameh, because once again we're machzik mizman lezman, we assume that the sheretz was in that machatz from the beginning, which would have made all the wine tameh, therefore all the barrels are tameh. Let's now learn Mishnah Chet, the final Mishnah Masechet Taharot. Mishnah begins bein ha'igulim lezagin. So now we're defining different regions by the bud in terms of, or also in the vineyard as well, are they defined as Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid v'tumah. That's important because we've explained the Safek Tumah in Rishut HaRabim, a doubt in Rishut HaRabim will be ruled as leniently as being Tahor, and if it's in the private domain, we say it's Tameh. So what are these Igulim? So the Igulim seem to be these heavy stone weights that were used to press the Zagin, meaning they're already pressed out grapes to extract any wine after they've already been pressed. So between the Igulim and the Zagim, meaning if that region between which these stones are placed and the Zagim themselves, we say that area is Rishut HaRabim. Now, why is that? That is because it's an area where there's a lot of traffic, a lot of people move through, so therefore it's Rishut HaRabim for Tumah. Kerem Shilifnei HaBotzrim, if we're talking about the vineyard itself, but the region of which the people that are collecting and picking all the grapes has not yet reached, That area is a Roshuta Yachid for Tuma. That is because very few people will go there, because if anybody goes there, they'll be accused of trying to steal. So they'll avoid that area. However, Sha'achara Botrim, after the area that's already been harvested, the grapes have already been picked, that area is Roshuta Rabim. Why? Because from that, in that region, Aniyim can start coming in to start collecting Peret and Olalot. If you recall, Peret are the single grapes that fall to the ground, and Olalot are they're badly formed clusters of grapes that don't have the shoulders or the droopy part at the bottom. So we say Eimatai. When do we say that region, after the region's already been harvested, or all the grapes have already been picked, when do we say that's a Roshuta Rabim? That's Misman Sharamin Nichnasim Bazul V'Yotzim Bazul. That's only if you can actually walk through the area. In other words, there's two openings, such that it can be used, if you like, as a thoroughfare. However, if there's only one opening, such that it's like a dead end and you have to turn around and come back, then that wouldn't be considered Roshuta Rabim for Tumah, even though it's the area that's already been collected. Next, Klei Beit HaBad V'Shel Gat. So the Beit HaBad is a place where the olives are pressed for oil, and a gat is a location where the wine is pressed. Grapes are pressed for wine. So the kelim, the vessels in that in both those locations, and also the ekel. The ekel is a kupa, a basket that is woven, in which they collect the wastes of the olives after they've been pressed, and they collect it together, and they put a kor on top of it to press it out. Mishnah says, "Mizman shen shelets, if they're made of wood, these kelim, we say menagvan, which means all you have to do is wait till they just dry them off, and that would be sufficient. Another explanation says not just dry them off, you'll also have to wash them as well, and that'll be tahorim. Meaning, despite the fact they came into contact with liquid that is tamer, they simply drying it off would be sufficient, because these kelim usually found in a Beit HaBad and a gat, they're what's called peshutei kliyatz. They're usually simple planks of wood. In other words, they cannot act as receptacle, and are therefore not susceptible to tumah. Therefore, our only concern is the tamer liquid, so therefore it should be sufficient to simply dry them off. However, as manchen shel gemi, if they're made of gemi of reed, such that they would absorb some of these tamer liquids, then miyash nam kol shne masar chodesh. One would have to wait, leave them for 12 months, such that any absorbed liquids would become already considered pagum, if you like, diminished, and then not no longer tamer. Again, another explanation is you still have to still wash them, but again, the process is a lot more involved, and not enough to wait for them to dry. You'd have to leave for 12 months. Or what you can do is choltam b'chamin. You can kash them. You simply place them in boiling hot water. Rabbi Yossi omer im natanan bishibolat hanahar. If you place it in a flowing stream, a strong flowing stream, and you do so according to the Gemara, you do so for 12 hours, that will be sufficient in order to, if you like, wash out any of the absorbed tamer or liquids that may have been absorbed in these kelim that were made of gemi, made of reed. Those are Mishnah today. With that, we salik Masechta Tarot. We finish Masechta Tarot, and Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin Masechta Mikvaot. Those are the Mishnah today.